Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 6, and I'm going to look at just a portion of this for the sake of this message. Unto us a child is born, and this is, of course, a prophecy regarding Christ, that he would come as a man. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called, one of the names, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Revelation 19:16 calls Jesus the King of Kings. He is a Prince of Peace. Prince, that word means ruler. So he is the ruler of peace. The kingdom of God is a kingdom called peace. We call it heaven. But if you ask God the name of his kingdom, he would call it peace. Now, the kingdom of God has a government. It's the government of God. It's a government of grace in Hebrews 4:16. But there is a government to this kingdom of a land of peace. And there's a specific way that this government works. It's a very important government because the kingdom called peace is the most powerful kingdom that actually exists. Everything that happens on earth is subservient to the kingdom of peace. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens obviously on earth is peace, but ultimately everything is subservient to this kingdom, peace. This land is much more powerful than any human nation. America doesn't touch it. China doesn't touch it. Russia doesn't touch it. Nobody touches it. North Korea cannot even begin to touch it. Nobody can. It is the single most powerful land that exists. That land is where we belong. This is where we are citizens. Your citizenship is not earth. Yes, you have a national citizenship just like any other person who's living here, but in truth, in reality, your citizenship is not earth. You've been sent here as an ambassador. An ambassador is not a citizen of the land that he is sent to. He represents his own nation to that land. You are here to be representatives of the kingdom of peace, God's kingdom. Now, God's kingdom has a structure, it has an order, it has a rule, it has a government. In order for us to operate as citizens of the kingdom of peace, we have to understand how that kingdom operates, how God's government works. Because if we don't understand that, then it'll be just like anybody else living in a country who does not know how to function legally in that country. Nobody can enter God's kingdom outside of the government of God's kingdom. Nobody can sneak across a border there. There's only one way to enter, and that way is Christ. So if I don't enter through Christ, and I'm sorry if people don't like it on the internet, there's a lot of people who say, well, why only Jesus? Why not any of the other religions? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he was God. So you can't come to God apart from God. You can't come to God in ways that God says you can't come here. He said that way is narrow, and it's not a big gate, it's a little gate that takes you into the kingdom. There's only one way, and that's Christ, and that's because there's a government. How does that government work? That's the question we need to answer for ourselves, that we need to understand for ourselves in order to have a successful life as Christians. I will tell you guys right now, please take this to heart. It is true. It is absolute. And it will make all the difference. When you do things God's way, God will promote it. God will prosper it. God will get behind it. God will help you with it. If you do things against the way that God says, in a way that's not God's way, then God will oppose it. God will not be behind it. He may allow you just because of logistical grace, and logistical grace is the kind of grace that will allow rain on everybody, regardless of whether they're good people, bad people, godly people, ungodly people, doesn't matter. Just because they're created human beings, God will give them some measure of grace that is called logistical grace. That does not save them. That just means they're human. Now, the government of God has a way of doing things. He may allow you to get away with things in logistical grace. But you don't want that. Because ultimately, that's a form of deception. That's the form that says to you, you're doing well when you're actually not. That's the form of deception that makes you to think that you're right, everything about it is right, you're set, you're secure, you're right with God, I'm being physically blessed, I'm being monetarily blessed. My labor is successful, and sometimes Christians think like this. If your business is successful, if you know how to do a smart business, if you know how to make money, then God is promoting you. That's not necessarily true. It might just be because things work a certain way, and you've tapped into it. You can run a business a certain way, make a ton of money, if you run it the way that businesses work when they're successful. But it doesn't mean anything about you and God. And ultimately, that kind of success can be deceptive if you link it in your mind to some form of spirituality, because the only way to heaven is Christ. The only way to be successful with God is Christ. The only way to get rewards is faith in Christ. A lot of these people, although they're not bad people necessarily, some of them are great people, but they're not even saved. So that great people quality of theirs can be deceptive to them. You go out soul winning, and you say, do you know if you're going to heaven when you die? And they say, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. I don't hurt anybody. My favorite thing, and guys, don't ever let this confuse you. If somebody says to you, or even you might think to yourself, I hope not. I'm a good person. I don't hurt people. I don't steal. I haven't killed anybody. I'm a good person. That only means you don't belong in jail. It doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Not everybody who is in heaven was a good person. But somewhere along the line, they got saved. Just like the thief on the cross. He was not a good person. He got saved. And when he got saved, the not good person of him, that ended. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that passed away. So in reality, he only lived a few hours before he died. And that was it. But it was enough. So don't let this good person thing get to you. There's a way the government of God works. And you want to understand that. In Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is in righteousness and peace and joy in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Now that righteousness part is a big part. Righteousness, and again, a lot of Christians don't really get what righteousness means. I'm righteous, I do the right things, right? Isn't that what it means? I'm righteous, I'm a good guy. I'm righteous, I don't sin. I'm righteous. That's not what it means. Righteousness, I want you to remember this. Righteousness is a relationship with Christ that puts you into correct standing with Christ. But it only comes through a relationship with Christ. There is no such thing before God as righteousness apart from a relationship with Christ. So when you hear righteousness, don't think good person. When you hear righteousness, think relationship. I have a relationship with Christ. That's my righteousness. Romans 3:22. That's my righteousness. It comes by faith. Now, if I have a relationship with Christ, Romans 1:17 says that I go from faith to faith. The just live by faith. Faith to faith means this. You receive faith through the Word of God. It's something that is produced in you. It's not something you produce in yourself. Romans 1:17 says that faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. That's not the same as reading. Reading the Word of God is very important, but for a different reason. Hearing the Word of God requires humility. And that humility is required in order for you to operate in the government of grace. If you do not have humility, you cannot operate in God's government. You'll rebel against it. So faith requires the humility, and the Word of God says the humble will hear. Faith requires the humility to hear the Word of God because you're going to hear it from a preacher. Now, reading the Word of God builds substance in your soul. It's vital, but it's something different. It's not the same thing. Although it is vital, you can't do without it. You do need to read your Bible, but for a different reason. You need to hear the pastor, and this is one of the problems today that happened in Christianity. People are saying, well, I believe in Jesus. No, I don't go to church, but I believe in Jesus and I have my relationship with Jesus, but I don't go to church. You may be saved, but you don't have a relationship. Because the righteousness of God comes faith to faith. That's how it's revealed. Faith to faith. Romans 1:17. You first have to hear the Word of God. That builds faith in you. Then you respond in faith to the Word of God that you received. So it's faith being built to faith response. That's how the just live by faith. When you have that functioning in your life, you have the government of God in your life. Apart from that, there is no government. You may be saved, you cannot lose it, but you don't know Him, you don't have a relationship with Him, unless you have a relationship by the hearing of the Word of God, because it doesn't exist outside of that. God made it that way. That's how God set it up. That's His provision for a relationship with Him. Now remember, in John 1:14, the Word of God became alive. So it's not just like you're reading your Bible, you're reading a book just like any other book. No. The Word of God is contained in the Bible for our sake. He needed a way to deliver it to us So he wrote it in a book. But it's much more than just a book. A book is a way of communicating it. But it had the power to become alive. Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, all the other books, Ulysses, whatever famous books are out there, none of them became alive. The Word of God became alive. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God always has been alive. The name of Christ is Word of God. In heaven, he will not be known as Christ per se. That's what he is to us on earth. In heaven, when you see him, you'll recognize his name is Word of God. So I receive the Word of God. It builds my faith. It helps me to think with him because it's his mind. I apply the things that I receive from the Word of God in faith. Now I live faith to faith. And now I have righteousness. And now I have a relationship with him. And that relationship causes me to be just before him. It does not make me a perfect person. It makes me a person with a relationship. In Hebrews 4:2, this is key. The gospel was preached to all of us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. This is the problem with not hearing the word of God. Yes, I'm saved. I don't need a church. I've got it all together on my own. That's not an unusual thought. It's complete deception. We must mix faith with what we hear. Again, akouo is the original language, hearing. It literally means the auditory sense, literally hear. Not just read, hear. Why? Humility. Plenty of people read the Bible with no humility, and a lot of them aren't even saved. You look at some of those theologians at some of these big secular universities that used to be Christian but are no longer, and they've got their liberal theology departments, and they read the Bible. They don't know Jesus. They're not even saved, some of them. But they read the Bible, and they can tell you what certain portions of scriptures say. But because they don't have a relationship with God, because they're not actually saved, some of these people, some of them I'm sure are, but some of them are not. Because they don't know him, because they don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them, they're never guided in John 16:13 in all truth. Therefore, they don't know what to do with the Bible. They use natural thinking, human rationale, circumstantial comparisons, and they say to themselves, well, this is what it's really about. No, it's not. The Holy Spirit shows you what it's really about. And the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. So without hearing the Word of God, you're not going to have a relationship. Without a pastor, I'm sorry out there if this offends you and you think somebody's trying to manipulate. The pastor is not here to manipulate. The pastor is here to be the architect of your faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's why you need a pastor. You're not going to have a properly built faith without a pastor. That pastor has to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit speaking to the churches in order for you to have that. If you have no properly built faith, there is going to be no government of God in your life. Without a government of God in your life, you're out there in a battlefield, you have no provisions. That's dangerous. One of the things that astonishes me is how clearly this works. Somebody gets saved and they don't get hidden in a church. They don't get under a godly pastor who's preaching the Word of God to the best of his ability. That person very frequently will get attacked by the devil in a very devastating way. And nowadays, it usually comes with ungodly relationships. Because people's biology drives them. You're never to be controlled by your biology. God controls your biology. And you can bring your biology under control through the Word of God. But I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. I've seen it a lot. Somebody gets saved. They'll accept Christ, but they won't go into a church, at least not right away. And that period of time between getting saved and getting into a church with a good pastor, that part turns into hell. All kinds of sin coming out of that. That's where they make some of their worst mistakes of their life. Why? Because they're in a battlefield with no provision. And so Satan attacks because they can't do anything about it. That pastor is key. A godly pastor is key. You mix faith with what you hear from the pulpit. Now, yes, you have to make sure he's preaching the Word of God. That's why Paul commended the Thessalonians. They went back and they checked out in the Bible, what he was saying. That's one of the reasons why I love when people bring a Bible to church and follow along. You want to see that it's right. You want to see that indeed it is in the Bible. That's why we give chapter and verse. Because you want to know that it's in the Bible. I, as a pastor, want you to know it's in the Bible, because if all I'm giving you is my opinion, then it's totally useless. My opinion is no better than anybody else's. But if it's the Bible, then it's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. Any pastor. If the pastor is preaching the Bible, it's not his opinion, it's the Word of God. Now, pastors will frequently be accused of giving their opinion when they're actually quoting scriptures, but that's usually on the part of somebody who's rebelling against God and against God's Word, against conviction. If it's in the Word of God, it's God's opinion, not man's. And the pastor is not giving you his opinion if he's giving you chapter and verse. If he tells you the original meanings, now you don't have to do that all the time, and certainly in a church you do it far less than you would in a Bible college class. But if he's not explaining what it really means, then he's not presenting the full message. He needs to give you the Word of God in the full message. Why? Because that's where the government of God in your life comes from. So assuming that that's the pastor, you mix faith with what he gives you. Now, mixing faith, the best way to think of this is when you take coffee and you put creamer in it. That's that kind of an idea. You hear the Word of God, and as soon as you hear it, you immediately trust it as the Word of God. That's mixing faith. Some people, it happens to them that they hear the Word of God, but they hear it in their intellect. They don't necessarily mix faith with it. They take it as information. The Word of God is not given as information. It's the mind of Christ. So you mix faith with what you hear. Applying the Word of God requires mixing faith. But you're not going to have a relationship or a government with Him if you don't apply it. That's why it's faith to faith. Applying the Word of God requires mixing faith. If you don't trust it, you won't apply it. In Job 24:13, there are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways nor abide in its paths. When I have doctrine, when I have the Word of God, doctrine, by the way, is the Word of God And this is why we call it categorical doctrine, when it's applied in categories. Now, the Word of God has something to say about everything. Pick a topic, it has something to say about it. So you could call it topical doctrine. Same thing. Except for one thing, it's not just what God has to say about something, it also involves applying what God has to say about something. And that's where the difference is. Yes, you receive it, you also apply it. That's when it becomes categorical doctrine in your life. So it's not just that somebody told me what it says and now I say I have doctrine. No, doctrine actually requires application in order for it to become doctrine. And we do it in categories, in topics. Whatever the topic is, the topic of business, the topic of family, any topic you can think of, the Word of God has something to say about it. You apply it, that's when it becomes doctrine. When I have doctrine and I choose against it, in other words, I know what God has to say about it, but I'm going in a different direction. That is the starting point of rebellion. That's where rebellion comes in. Why? Because the government of God has something to say and I choose to go with something else. Now, there's only two governments. There's God's government, which is a government of grace, Hebrews 4:16, or there's Satan's government, which is a government called iniquity. That's Psalm 94:20. Iniquity, at its core, is self-orientation. In the Garden of Eden, that's what Satan brought in when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, was self-orientation. In Ezekiel 28:15 to 18, Lucifer became Satan when he became self-oriented. Lucifer was a mighty angel. He was powerful. He was a outstanding angel for a long time until he became self-oriented, and then he became the devil. So he changed, and what changed him was self-orientation. Satan's government works on the basis of self-orientation. He controls you when you're self-oriented. He doesn't try to control people outright because Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 says he's very subtle. Nobody in their right mind, and not everybody is in their right mind by a long shot, but nobody in their right mind would say, well, that's the devil, I'm going after him. There are people who exist like that, they're in bad shape. But nobody in their right mind would say that. But there's plenty of people who are self-oriented who think they're in their right mind. But because they're self-oriented, they're not in their right mind and they don't know it. He doesn't want you to know when he's controlling you, but the results reveal who's in charge. And so we don't live in a self-oriented mindset. We live in a God-oriented mindset because self-orientation is where the throne of iniquity, Satan's throne, takes over. If I choose knowing doctrine to go against doctrine, I've entered into Satan's government, and that is called rebellion. Rebellion is demonic. Can't change that. Rebellion is demonic. Why? Satan's government. In Psalm 64:2, the Word of God says, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. Iniquity will bring you into rebellion. The cause of rebellion is self-orientation. What we don't understand when we get rebellious is we're actually Satan-oriented. But it's subtle. We think it's about us. look out for number one, do what's best for me. God's not telling me what to do. It's my life. I'm going to live it. And what we don't understand is there's only the two kingdoms, and I'm not on that throne of either one of them. I'm going to live under the authority of one of them. Which one's it going to be? And quite frankly, many people choose Satan's kingdom. In 1 Samuel 12:14, if you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. Now here's the thing about rebellion. It is always against government or authority. So if I'm choosing against the ways of God, against the will of God, against the word of God, I'm choosing against God's government. I'm choosing against God's authority. On the other side of the statement, I'm choosing for a different government and for a different authority. Satan wants to think that you're choosing for you, but you're not. That's actually not a choice. That's not one of the options. By rebelling against God's government, I'm by default choosing Satan's government. Satan's authority. Satan's authority is not for you. He is against you. He's not there to help you. He'll make all kinds of promises and never deliver. What did he say to Adam and Eve? God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open and you will be as the angels. That is the exact opposite of what happened to them. And somebody on the internet is saying, no, he said you'll be as gods. Small g, Elohim is the word. Sometimes it means Trinity. Sometimes it means angels. There it meant angels. You're actually choosing governments. You're actually choosing authority. You're going to be under one authority or the other. You have no option. What your option is, which one? That's the part that's your choice. In Joshua 22:5, take careful heed to do the commandments, and this was in Moses' time, and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you to love the Lord your God. That's big. Why? Because in 1 John 4:19, you have to be loved by God in order to love God. You need to receive it first before you can love him. And walk in his ways and keep his commandments. What's his commandment in our age? John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the commandment we keep. If we keep that commandments, then all of the other commandments are taken care of. To hold fast to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, receiving love is what gives me the capacity for mixing faith. That's why Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in my love and my word abides in you, then you will bear much fruit. That's what we're after. We're after fruit. Everything produces fruit. Both kingdoms have their fruit. You want the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How's it going to happen? You have to abide in the love of God. Now, in that portion, it says, if you abide in me. Well, in 1 John 4:16, he is love. So he's saying, if you abide in the love of God. And verse 7 of the same chapter shows you that him abiding in you is his word in you. And so you abide in the love of God. The word of God abides in you. You bear a lot of fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. That shows you that you are operating in the right government. How do I know I'm functioning in the right government? What's the fruit? The fruit tells the story. Jesus said, you know the tree by its fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. You know the tree by its fruit. You cannot judge the person. You can evaluate the fruit. The fruit will reveal to you what the person is. If the fruit is present, and if it's godly fruit, you've got something good going on as a person. If the fruit is wicked, then you're talking about somebody who's under the wrong government. Now, there are people who love the brethren. They're not perfect people, but they love the brethren. They preach the word. They share the word. They win the lost the best they can. They're faithful to Christ. They operate in faith. They have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit reveals. If they're pastors, the people in their churches are growing, getting to know God. No matter how big their church is, the people are getting to know God. Numbers don't give fruit. Numbers are not fruit, by the way. But people are growing, so you got a good church, a good pastor, or you have an individual who has a really right relationship with God if they're not a pastor. On the other hand, there are people who accuse or malign, people who are self-centered, people who will do terrible things. Pastors, I've actually seen this, pastors who will perhaps function as pastors outside of the Word of God. One of the biggest ways you can tell is when they marry people. Pastors who are willing to marry unbelievers to believers, or pastors who are willing to marry homosexuals, these are people who don't have the right fruit. That's if it's a pastor. Individuals who are negative, individuals who are perhaps critical, or perhaps an individual is extremely insecure. The individual doesn't know how to trust God. They don't know how to respond to Him. Their life shows you that. The results of their life show you that. That's not good fruit. That's a person who's not got a healthy relationship with Christ. The fruit reveals it. You can't judge the person. God says, don't do that. But you can look at the fruit to know what they're all about. You can do that. Well, if there's somebody who's constantly negative or constantly bitter or what have you, then that shows me that person doesn't have a really good working relationship with God. If there's somebody who's got the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they have love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness, patience, and all that stuff, then yeah, self-control, they got a great relationship with God. Accusers of the brethren, that's one of the biggest things. Nowadays, that seems to be very popular. Gossip, accusation, negativity toward people. Well, Revelation 12:10 says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So if that's your fruit, accusation of the brethren, you know where it's coming from. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's not good fruit. Gossip. Romans chapter 1 puts gossip into the same category as adultery or homosexuality. That's not good fruit. You know where that fruit's coming from. You have somebody who's just kind. Well, that's good fruit. You have somebody who has peace in their life. That's good fruit. You have somebody who has joy. That's good fruit. You know where they're coming from. So you look at the fruit if you want to know the person. You don't look at the person. You look at the fruit. Same with churches. You look at the fruit if you want to know what the church is like. You don't look at the people. You look at the fruit. Because the pastor and everybody else in that church is growing. But what's their fruit? That's where you know where their source is. In Hebrews 4:16, we come boldly to the throne of grace. That is the throne. The government of grace, by the way, always works for your benefit. It's always there to help you. It's always there to love you. It's always there to comfort you. It's always there to guide you. The government of grace always works for your benefit. Now, it may allow testing, but there's a reason for that. Testing is required to build us. if you don't build a person, then they'll never develop. Job 23 says, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. And gold refers to faith. I'm going to come forth with a built faith, because I'm going to see God in operation, and that's going to encourage me in faith. Now, sometimes trials come and you get afraid. Don't get condemned about being afraid. But sometimes trials come and you might get afraid. Run to Christ. He will be faithful to you. Trust Him. Go to His promises. Pray. Pray your way through trials. Don't try to manipulate the circumstance when a trial comes. The government of God is taking care of you in the midst of your trial. And if you try to manipulate it, you might step out from the government. God is extremely faithful to take care of your trials, to help you through them. If circumstances or people or organizations or whatever come against you, don't you dare think for a second that God's not going to take care of you in it. He absolutely will, and He absolutely does every single time. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You don't touch the circumstance. You leave it alone. You walk right through it, knowing that God's protecting you every step of the way. Because that's how the government of God works. God's government takes care of its own every single time. In Romans 8:29, the ultimate outcome of the government of grace is to conform us to the image of Christ. The result of that government, the fruit of that government, is that we become the expression on earth of Christ. That's what He's after. Because He's already made us to be one with Him in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. But He doesn't want that just to be in our position before Him. He wants that to be our experience. And in order for that to become my experience, I have to be under His government. When that government works in my life, it develops me. It builds me. It takes care of me. It provides every aspect of my life. Matthew 6:33, I seek first the kingdom of God and everything else is provided. Job, money, relationships, spouse, children, if you're called to have those. Everything else is provided. But it all comes under the government of God. Step out from that government and there's a different government that you step into. And that does not provide. But God's government always provides, and it always takes care of you, because you're a citizen of the kingdom of peace. Therefore, the government takes care of its own. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.